Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. This is Todd Perry. Welcome to this episode of PPM Simplifies. We are really excited today because we have another amazing PPM professional. Our guest today is Ms. Annie McElwain. She is our Jackson, Mississippi office manager, incredible environmental professional. She is an Ole Miss graduate in civil engineering. She has both her master's and undergraduate. And I just cannot tell you, I cannot convey in words what an amazingly talented individual she is. She is a just consummate environmental professional. We're fortunate to have her. You're going to really enjoy this episode of PPM Simplifies. So we got a really cool topic we're going to talk to Annie about. But let me forget my manners. Good morning, Annie. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about this. And I don't know how I follow up that introduction. So.
When it's the truth, you can just own it. And I was so excited about our topic today, I just kind of forgot my normal, you know, social courtesies. And again, we're glad to have you. And our topic today is how to read a regulation. And, you know, there's not a part, almost any business gets touched by regulations. And I've heard some crazy numbers out there, but just on OSHA, I think that someone told me that any given business, there are thousands of different regulations that can potentially impact how they do business. But I want to start at the top. We'll just kind of walk through a progression. You know, we'll go to EPA or even a state regulatory agency. They issue a new regulation. How do you start dissecting that and kind of preparing to understand what the purpose of the regulation requirements are?
So, you know, anytime that they release a regulation, they usually have a public comment period. And, you know, we try to keep a really close eye on that to see which industries that's going to affect, because that's really when you can definitely get your voice heard to change some of the nitpicky things in the regulation. So that's just a quick disclaimer on that. So, you know, let's just assume that the regulation has been finalized. Usually what I always do, the first thing I always do, especially when it comes to environmental regulations, is I go to the tables. I'm much more of a bullet point type of person. I want things organized in a way that I can see them visually. And so the tables always are really helpful, especially when it comes to air. So I always encourage people, if you want to see what applies to you, go to the very end of the regulation to the tables right away. I mean, just like most of us do with reports, we go to the figures and the tables right away.
Yeah. So, and that's a great way. And you kind of get to, it's almost like the cliff notes in a sense of when you begin to see the tables and the intent that gives you the flavor for it. As you look at regulations, and again, there's so many different areas that are impacted by this. Do you ever find any, I guess, maybe tools that are available? Have you ever been involved in helping the state or even EPA develop guidance which tries to summarize other regulations?
One state that has really helpful tools in looking at regulations is actually Texas. TCEQ has flow charts of, practically any regulation you could be interested in. And again, that's more of a visual way. And it also helps, you know, when I'm trying to explain to a client, this is what we need to do, to just show them a flow chart, walk them through it. And usually Texas's flow charts are based on the federal regulations. You know, there's always the caveat, states are allowed to be stricter, but they have to, at a minimum, meet federal regulations. So I always point people in the direction, if you need something simplified, try to look at Texas's website. They've done a phenomenal job at that.
So that's why we listen to the podcast. You get all these cool, you know, hacks and tips. So on that note, a lot of times I think about the environmental industry. I think about, you know, water, air, and waste. Of those three, where would you say the most complex regulations reside?
It's probably a tie between air and waste. You know, air has so many different, it's very much categorized by the industry type. So you are going to have a lot more subparts, and what might apply to one industry may not apply to another industry. So there, that gets really complicated. Waste, though, is just a whole nother beast, because honestly, waste, it's never just the same, you know, and so you have to really see what category you fit into. But I would say out of the two, if I had to decide, I'd say air. The Clean Air Act is pretty robust. And then, you know, everything that accompanies it.
And Annie, I'm not sure, you know, your opinion. I'd be curious to share with our listeners on the podcast. You know, you think about, you know, clean air, clean water. The basic acts were actually, you know, set out or set in regulation back in the 70s. And they've certainly been amended and added to. But do you ever marvel that something that is becoming, you know, gosh, 50 years or, you know, close to 50 years old now is still so effective at helping protect, you know, human health and the environment?
Yeah. And honestly, there's always things getting added to it to further protect. I mean, what the Clean Air Act used to, I guess, regulate and improve. I mean, it's just been so expanded upon that the actual emissions that facilities are getting now would have just been unheard of back when it was first, you know, put into act. But it's a pretty complicated one. And I know our clients a lot of times are begging for help with it because it can just get very convoluted.
And I'm with you. I think that's a great way to look at it. So a couple of things you touched on earlier, I want to illuminate a little bit. When a regulation, you have to understand, you have to read a regulation. Do you have any tips for us on how to approach the regulators and maybe, you know, collaborate and get them to assist you to help understand, you know, what the purpose is, how will we comply?
Yeah, the second tip I have after you look at the tables, look at the definitions. And these seem so elemental. You know, we make assumptions about what a definition means, but many times I've been able to help a client by looking at the definition, whether it applies to them, whether it means that they have a more lenient approach to compliance. So always jump to the definitions. Where do I fall in these? Which one applies to me? And then going from there, you know, you can look at things like your monitoring requirements, your reporting requirements. And there's lots of words. There's lots of except fors. Always look for the word except and see where you fall into that. And, you know, sometimes things aren't as cut and dry. You know, recently we had a client, they have a what's called a dry electrostatic precipitator, which, you know, eliminates particulate matter. Well, this is for their boiler before it goes out into the air. And the what's called the Boiler MACT regulation, it talks about electrostatic precipitators. And it doesn't differentiate between wet or dry. Well, the EPA has always kind of said, well, we implied a wet ESP. But that was making monitoring much harder for our client. They were having to install all kinds of opacity monitoring systems, everything. So just looking at that regulation and diving in and saying, well, you never actually said that. We were able to get an alternative monitoring plan approved to where all they have to do is monitor their secondary voltage to make sure their equipment is operating, you know, correctly, just like a wet ESP would. So it's things like that. It's very much diving into the regulations, seeing what you can pick out of it and helping your client. And, you know, I always encourage, don't just read the regulation without talking to the regulatory agency either. It should be a back and forth.
And they're very open, you know, in my experience, and you know, talked about it, you know, they actually enjoy discussions because that makes their job easier, doesn't it, to enforce when you understand what they're doing. Collaboration is a good thing.
Yes, absolutely. And also, I mean, just being on a first name basis with the folks who are regulating you and your client, I mean, that's, you know, that's so valuable. You can't beat that.
It is. So now I'm going to get you to help me and help our listeners out there. So just like this week, the state we work in, I received a potpourri notice of new rules in regards to enforcement expedited penalties. And so we've got a public hearing end of this month, and comment periods are due early the following month, about 2 weeks after the public hearing. And so when you get a scenario like that, Annie, how do you make sure that you're advocating, you know, for common sense on behalf of industry and clients when the agency publishes potential new regulations?
So I think the key to any public comment period on a regulation is you need a group of people looking at it together. You need a different set of eyes from different backgrounds. And, you know, it should definitely be majority the industry that's being impacted. But, you know, that's the way you can see, well, do you feel like this is a reasonable request they're making? Could we maybe find a compromise? You know, who knows it better than the people who are going to be regulated by it? But also, you know, they need, you know, the eyes of the legal profession or of consultants who know the environmental side. Let's say it's an environmental one. So I always say get a group together and, you know, responses to public comment periods from an organization is a lot more powerful than from one individual person.
Yeah, that makes great sense. And trying to get, like you said, an alliance of the regulated community, consultants, attorneys, and really even the regulators will pitch in and collaborate because, you know, it's kind of, it's baked, but the recipe might be a little off, and, you know, some transparency and conversation might really help it going from a really good dish to a really great regulation that you know, does what the purpose is. So in your experience, have you ever seen a regulation that was maybe half-baked and had unintended consequences? Have you ever run into anything like that?
Yes. Well, I mean, the first one that comes to mind is the Clean Power Plan, which was going to be, I mean, which is no longer, but was going to be unattainable, frankly. I would say maybe it would be attainable decades down the road, but with the timeline that it was establishing, it just didn't make any sense. And, you know, that was very much what the energy industry was pushing back with, was, you know, we can't do this. This isn't based in science of our processes. And so then it got into borrowing credits so you could release more. And in the end, was it really protecting our air quality? So that one is definitely the first one that comes to mind to me.
Yeah, so sometimes things are drawn up on paper, don't quite survive in the real world or have the intended consequence. This is, Annie, this has been absolutely sensational. The insights you gave us on how to think about regulations, it's been fun, great reference. So to our listeners, if you'd like more information, like to visit with Annie or myself, and by the way, you'll visit with Annie on this, not me. You can go to our website, ppmco.com, and there's a contact us button. You can fill out a quick little comment and hit send, and then we will get right back to you. Annie, thanks again. Any last thoughts for podcast listeners?
Just again, if you need help reading regulation, call us. I encourage you to never read one by yourself. So.
There you go. That's good advice. I like it. So again, thanks so much. It's been a real treat to our listeners. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to us. And look forward for you joining us next time on PPM Simplifies.
Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.